and he'll be before us and teach the Bible class. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, very thankful for this day that you have given us. We are thankful for the opportunity that we have this week to listen to your word by our good brother James. And we're thankful that we're able to have lessons delivered to us for this entire week. We pray that we'll take advantage of it, that we'll attend all the services faithfully, and most importantly, that we'll listen carefully to the things that we learn from your word and make application of it. We're thankful for Brother James and the good work that he has done for so many years. We pray that you'll continue to bless him and help him to continue to preach the gospel in the way that he has in the past, and that you'll be glorified by the work that he does. We pray that you'll be with him this week as he preaches to us and as he travels back and forth. And we pray that you'll keep your arm protection around him. And we pray that you'll help him to have a ready recollection even this morning as he teaches the Bible class. And we pray that you'll be with him all this week. We praise you. We're so thankful that you are such a great God, but at the same time a loving and merciful God, that you care so much for us. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we might return that same care to you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Good to see all of you this morning. It's a blessing. It's a privilege. It's an opportunity that God has given us to assemble again today, that we might worship him in spirit and in truth. Brethren, today is a special day. There's a lot of specialties about it. When John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, the day belongs to him. One of the things that God changed, and only one, is under the old law, we was under the Sabbath. Saturday was your day. But a lot of things that transpired all happened on the first day of the week. Jesus arose from the grave on the first day. On the first day of the week, on Pentecost, the church had its beginning. So I always say in Mansfield, it's a blessing and it's a privilege and it's an opportunity that we have on the first day of the week. I bring greetings from the church in Mansfield. The church in Mansfield is doing well. I usually send in a report, and I appreciate all of the brethren here. I appreciate the work that Brother Wright and his good wife is doing. I appreciate the work that the Elmans is doing and the encouragement that you all, members, Elmans, brothers and sisters, have given us in Mansfield. And I appreciate being here today, and I thank you all for allowing me to come and be with you at this time and for this meeting. And I hope we can say something that will be edifying to each of us. And thank all of you again for being here. And I appreciate all of you. I was telling Brother Leroy this morning. He said, Brother James, how long have you known these folks? Brother Leroy ain't been in the church as long as a lot of you. Now, Leroy is his church name. I told Brother Wright this morning, I says, Leroy, where are you? You here, ain't you? And I says, Leroy is his church name. When I first went to Southside, Brother Wright was one of the people that encouraged us to come together. I don't know whether he can remember back that far or not, but he can remember coming to Grace Street, and we agreed that I was going to go there and be their full-time minister. So I did. And from a sermon that I preached after arriving there shortly after getting there, and Brother Leroy was a fairly new Christian. And I discussed a man by the name of Leroy and an application that he had placed in for a job. But I didn't preach the man, I preached Christ. But I did make a point out of that. And when I got done preaching, some of the members said, Brother James, says we got a Leroy here. But that ain't his legal name. That's his church name. That's the only name ever I did use since I known that. He responds to that, Brother Leroy. But I thank him, and I want to mention to you all, he is my chauffeur. He drives me. When I go to meetings and things, I don't drive much at night. I don't like to. And Brother Leroy is a driver. He's a truck driver for many years. And he drives me. And I appreciate him. And he is a faithful Christian. And I appreciate all of the work he does in Mansfield. And the church have grown a lot since you were left there, Brother Wright. We baptized several. Okay, I thank all of you for it. Now, what I want to do is, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 4. Teaching this Bible study. And one of the reasons I picked this, I didn't make no notes on it, I'm just going to talk about it. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 4. Now, I'll be calling on some of you to read some scripture and feel free to make comments. Brother Leroy can tell you when we have Bible study in Mansfield, the members makes a lot of comments. And you all are free to do that. Ask your question and make the comments. Now, when I was in Chicago here this year, I was preaching. And the preacher said, Brother James, I want to tell you to ask a lot of questions here. And I said, okay. And he said, what I maybe suggest is that you have a special time that you answer. I told him, okay. And I didn't know what he meant by telling me that until the end of the service. They had a question box. And they come up front, brother, and they had about 20 of them. And I said, yeah, I know what you mean now when you said they ask a lot of questions here. But I thank you all. You're welcome to ask your question and make your comment. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 4. I'm going to ask one of you brethren to read that. All right. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 4. It says, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. When you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages had not been made known. Can we understand the Bible alike? Quite frankly, we're dealing with a fellow right now. He comes to church every week. And we have a few problems with him. He He is not a member of the church, as far as I know. And he don't really accept everything that is taught. But anyway, when you read, can you understand the Bible? A lack. Now, I want you all to think about this. If you cannot understand it, why? Why can't you? Is it that God didn't have the ability to write it in such fashion that you could? Or is it that God did not done it on purposely? Didn't want you to understand it? Now, what I usually teach on this, brethren, when you say that you cannot understand the Bible alike, when you say you cannot understand it, you indict God. You indict His justice. You indict His love. You indict His Word. Can you understand? Paul said you could. That when you read it, you may understand His knowledge in the mystery of Christ. You might understand it. And think about this. You all know the answer is written, just raise your hand. Why did God want it preached if you and I could not understand it? Jesus said in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Go and preach it. Look at what Philip did in Acts 8. He went down to Samaria and he preached Christ. He preached it to the unity. Look at what Peter did when they went to the household of Cornelius. I'll be talking about some of those this week. Now, brethren, can we understand it or not? Now, people don't realize sometimes when you make statements like I can't understand it, you indict God. What did God say? God said He is not willing that anyone perish. Anyone perish. Well, if God not willing that anyone perish, and He tells us that you got to obey it, can you obey what you do not understand? The Bible said God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, let me ask you this question. Which is it? You indict God. Let me talk first about His justice. Now, you might not get justice in a lot of areas, but you get justice with God. John 12 and verse 48. The Bible says there, I'm just quoting and paraphrasing a little bit. The Bible says there that the word that I have spoken, the same should judge you in that day. Folks have said, don't judge me. I'm not judging you. The Bible says here that this is your judge right here. The same Bible that we're using this morning will be the standard by which you will be assigned to a devil's hell, or you will be justified to go to heaven. John 12 and verse 48. And one night this week, I'll be talking about limited authority. If you read that next verse, Christ talked about He didn't do nothing on His own. Everything he's spoken, the Father told him to. But now, remember this, brothers and sisters. I'm not saying we all do understand the Bible a lot, but I'm saying we can. 2 Peter 3:16. Did somebody get that passage? 2 Peter 3:16. And I want you all, if y'all got any question that you can't ask, remember, either God could, or he could but wouldn't. Which is it? Which is it? Can we understand the Bible or not? You want to read that, brother? Okay, read.
As also in all his epistles, speaking in them in things in which some things be hard to understand, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest as they do the other scriptures unto their own destruction.
Now listen at this. We're going to talk about some things the other day. It says here, Paul said some things that is hard. That's what the brother just to be understood. But what he didn't say was impossible to be understood. It takes some work. It takes some work. 2 Timothy 2:15, we're going to have that read in just a few minutes. Brother, may I have you to read that. 2 Timothy 2:15. Now, he says, hard to be understood. And let me tell you all this. Did you all know that people take these, he said, twist the scripture, wrestle the scripture to their own destruction? Did you know folks take the scripture, take a passage of scripture, they quote it, but they pervert it, they twist it, and they teach a false doctrine? I had some folk come to Gray Street one time when I was preaching over there, and a sister and a brother. And they said, Brother James, I listened at this preacher. He wasn't a Church of Christ preacher, but he was denominational. He said, and I know he's teaching the truth. I says, how do you know? She says, well, he quotes scripture. Says he quotes the scripture all the time. Says we listen at him all the time. But on those scriptures he quotes, he twists them, he perverts them. And that's what it said in 2 Peter 3:16. You can twist those scriptures to your own destruction. Here, John 3:16, so God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the preacher was teaching that you're saved by faith only. And so that's the way that went. But I got that straightened around with, I think. So that's the way that went. Now, this brother just read. He said, hard to be understood, but not impossible. Brother, you want to read 2 Timothy 2:15.
Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Listen at this. Study. Now you all, let's hold it and look at it. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Study to show who approved unto God. Thyself unto God. What do you study for? Look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 10. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21, somebody. Ephesians verse 5, 9, and 10.
Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord.
Read that again, brother.
Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord.
You read?
Ephesians 5 and verse 10?
Yeah, 10.
Yeah. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord.
All right. What you do, what is pleasing to the Lord? What pleases the Lord, brother? Y'all know what it is. Try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord to me. proving yourselves unto God a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, proving what is pleasing unto the Lord. Read 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21, somebody. Okay, who going to read that? Read that from me out loud where I can hear it.
Test everything. Hold fast what is good.
Okay, proving what is. Proving what? Who you prove it to? You prove it to yourself. Prove it to yourself. What is good? Hold fast to that which is good, paraphrasing if you please. But who are you proving that to? To yourself. Acts 17 and verse 11 says what? Searching the scriptures daily, seeing whether the apostles' teaching was so. Search. What Jesus said in John 5 and verse 39? Search the scriptures, for they are they that testify of me. Brother, and that's where it's at. The first person you prove it to is to yourself. And then in 1 Timothy, is it 1 Peter 3 and verse 15 to 16, when Peter said, be able to give an answer to everybody that asks you. Once you prove it to yourself before you obey it, remember that. Get it in black and white. Before you obey it, prove it to yourself. And that's where it's at. And it says in 2 Timothy 2:15, the brother read, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you wrongly divide it, what does that rightly divide mean? It simply means, brothers and sisters, that you put everything in its proper place. Now, you ever go to the grocery store with your wife? Brother, you ever go to the grocery store with your wife? Yeah, okay, all right. Now, when you do, what do? You put everything in that basket. Now, I never was much of a cook. Now, I tell y'all, Sister Hazel was a wonderful cook. But all I done was I pushed the basket. Push the basket around. She get this, that. And she piled it all in a basket. I'm telling you how to rightly divide the scripture. Now, she put it all in that basket. And then, I'd push it on up to the cashier. That's probably what you do. You push it up to that cashier. And that cashier takes it out. You take it out and you lay it on that table, Brother Wright. And she just click, 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 click. And when she get done, she put it all in a container, basket, or whatever. And then when you get home, what you do? You take it out. You take it in the house. You put it on the kitchen table, the counter, or whatever. And what does your wife do? She takes the salt out. She put it in the salt shaker. She take the pepper, put it in the pepper shaker. She take the meat and she put it in the fridge. She puts everything in its proper place. She put the bread, everything. That's why the separation become. But what does she do? She put it all in its proper place. And that's what rightly dividing the scriptures is. It's taking each passage and put it in its proper place. And if you don't do that, if you misplace one scripture, you'll mess up 50 others. I'm telling you, that's the way it is. You put everything, and I used to do that all the time. I'd take it home. But when I put it on the counter, then she'd start to work. She put everything in its proper place. Now, I'm going to tell y'all what happened to me one time. That was back in 1966. I'm telling my age a little bit now. That's when the conservative church was started. And we went to a house, several of us brethren. and the housewife. It wasn't you, sister, but I was at your house. The housewife made coffee. And guess what she did? At that time, I used a little sugar in my coffee. She says, I said, give me one spoonful of sugar. She says, okay. But guess what she done? Put salt in there. The sister come back to me and I drink. I said, sister, I said, I wanted sugar in the coffee. And she says, oh, Brother James, I made a mistake. She says, I had mistaken. Put the salt in the sugar container and put the sugar in the salt container. Says, that's what messed you up. I said, okay. So she fixed it. But that's what I'm telling you. Right in the dividing the scripture is putting everything into its proper place. And the Bible says, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. That you have proven. That you have found in black and white. That you can put your finger on. That's what you hold on to. All right. Anybody got any questions? Anybody got any questions? Just remember one thing, brother. There's no contradictions in the Bible. There's none. When you put everything together right, and how do you do that? It's by study. In study, you might need some things. In your study, you might need a dictionary. You need this, you need that. But you know what? No scripture contradicts itself. No scriptures. Somebody, a man asked me when I was in Chicago. One fellow was saying that, why do you believe in baptism? Well, baptism is no more important than repentance. It's no more important than confession. But it's the only one that folks take issue with a lot. But the Bible teaches that when one is baptized, they're into the Lord's church. The Lord adds them to the church. And then, that's when your growth began. You don't have to know a whole bunch. Most people that obeyed the gospel obeyed it on their first sermon. What did they know? They had to start. They start as a babe in Christ. But you need to rightly divide the scripture. And the first thing in rightly dividing it, the first thing in rightly dividing it is read it, look it up, keep it in its context, and there's another thing that I usually teach, sister, when I teach that. I tell you to read the label. Read the label. I preach a lesson on that sometime, Brother Wright. You know, at one point, I worked in a grocery store. And a can with no label, it's pretty hard to find out what's in the inside. Brother, my dad had a little meat market. I'm going to tell you all this here and let you know what I mean. And you can't have a store, brother, with an empty shelf in there. And I was out to the cash and carry. That was a wholesale house. I got what dad wanted. But the man says, if you want some cheap goods, some stuff to fill that shelf. He said, look over here. Come over here. I wasn't nothing but a real young person. And he said, I don't know what. I said, what you got in them cans? They got the label, got destroyed, sister, in moving them, transacting them, trucking them and stuff. And he said, I don't know. He said, but now if you want to fill the shelf, we can fill it. I don't know. We almost give it to you. I said, what do you want for that stuff? He said, that's cheap. He says, you fill your thing up there and then I'll charge you a little something, but they don't charge you much. And sister, when I went back, brother, I filled that shelf. And the lady come in there and she says, I want sweet potatoes, canned sweet potatoes. That's what my husband wants. And I said, I don't think I have none, sister. She went over to the canned goods and she looked. She said, you don't have none over here. Then she went over to the ones where there was no label. And she says, what you got over here? Had some little can, bigger can. I said, sister, I don't know. I said, they don't have no label. She says, what are you asking for? I said, well, they ain't selling for merch. She said, let me see, can I find me some sweet potatoes? And she went over to those cans. And she went to work. She filled them. She's shaking them. She come over to the county where I was. And she said, brother, don't these sound like sweet potatoes to you? I said, I don't know. I said, some in there can't. But what's in it, I don't know, sister. It might be sweet potatoes. She says, I'm almost sure it's sweet potatoes. She says, it sounds like that. So she bought them and went home. She come back an hour or so later. And she said, they were not sweet potatoes. I said, what were they? They was beets. Brethren, let me tell you what. The contents of the can is on the label. And if you want to find out about the church, I might preach on that one night. Here's the book of contents. This is the label. You can find out what's in the church. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needest not be ashamed, rightly divide the word of truth. If we understand the Bible, we'll all understand it alike. We'll all understand it alike. Paul said that you might understand it. Now, look back in the history at the time. How do you get faith? If God give you a book that you can't understand, if he give the apostles a message to preach that they could not, that you couldn't understand, then how could you have faith? How do you get faith, brother? Pardon? Hearing the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, if God gave you a message that you can't understand, how could you have faith? Can you be saved without faith? No. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says it's impossible. Titus chapter 2. You can't be saved, brethren, without faith. And folks always understood it, or except those that had help and misunderstanding it. You know, in Romans 10, I often talk about it. How beautiful are the feet of those that preach that good news. Matter of fact, a few Wednesday nights ago, we had folks coming in and asking you and telling you what's good news about the gospel. And we discussed that. I think, yo, is it in? What time, Brother Wright, do we get done?
You got 3 or 4 minutes left.
Huh?
You got 3 or 4 minutes.
3 or 4 minutes left. But listen, let me say this to you all. I thank you all for coming to be with you. I appreciate you. And I can't tell you how much encouragement and how much help I have received from all of you. And I was telling Brother Leroy this morning, we were sitting out there in the car, and I said, Brother Leroy, he said, Brother James, I've known these folks for a long time. A lot of the folks that I've known have now gone on to their reward. I said, and that's why salvation, that's why the church is so important, brother. It's because you can't stay here, and it fixes you for the other place. That's what the good news is all about. And teaching about the good news in Romans 10, the Bible said, they said, how beautiful are the feet of those that tell that good news. What's good about a man dying, buried, and rose again? The bottom line is, it's when this life is over. I told Brother Leroy, I said, Brother Leroy, I've known these folks for a long time. Long time. I can remember when Brother Roy Cogle was here teaching. And I can remember when he baptized one of our good elders here. I was here that night, brother. Now, I thank all of you for listening to me. And I appreciate all of you a lot. And my house burned. I lost a lot of things. But it's about... I'm going to give you a little update now on the finishing thing. I'm about ready to move back in, but I lost a lot of things. And some of them included a bunch of religious material I had. They had to take it all out. And so everything you hear me preach to you this week will be things that I had to build brand new. So I thank all of you. I appreciate coming and being with you, and thank you for your kindness and the opportunity to be with you. And if you all got questions, you all bring them to me. I'll do what I can, and then I'll take them over to Brother Wright. All right, thank you all, and my time is all gone, but I've enjoyed being with you this morning.